Welcome, beautiful people, to the Type 2 Podcast. My name is Jamil Muhammad. Today we have a special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Renee Noir. That is R-E-I-N-E, which is Black Queen in French.
She said it means Black Queen in French. Something that is so beautiful. So today we're going to be talking about one of the aspects that this podcast focuses on, one of the three, which is mental health, the other two being physical health, and the other, environmental health. So we're going to be asking Renee, the Black Queen, a series of questions, and we're going to start with number one, which is, just tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Dang. I don't think we have enough time for that, nor. See, you know, I always start off a lot of stories, long stories short, but they still end up being long, so I don't think it's possible for me to just try to say a little bit about myself, because I could say so much. What do you think it is that they specifically would want to know about me?
They probably would want to know, what is most important in your life as of right now? Your greatest concerns?
Oh man, my current and future success, my happiness, and I feel like I have one more, but I don't really know how to express or put in words to have people understand what I mean, but ultimately revolving around those two specifically as of right now.
Okay. And speaking of expression, which ways do you choose to express yourself on the day?
I express myself in many ways, honestly. I want to say, you know, I might not be the best at each one, but you know, I do certain things pretty well. But my biggest form of expression right now is probably through like music, in the form of dancing, singing, and in a sense sometimes writing, but not like lyrics, more so poetry. Those are the biggest ways.
Awesome. Do you go to like open mics and things like that?
I do. I actually do go to open mics. Well, I used to go to them a lot more often than I do now, but I still do go to them from time to time. I honestly want to find a spot that kind of focuses more on like live instrumental and poetry itself versus all forms of, like all genres of music, or just, you know, types of performances. But ultimately, yeah, I do.
That's what's up. I've went to maybe one open mic when I was in Atlanta for school. I did not perform or, you know, participate, but it just felt good to be in that environment where people just felt free enough or safe enough to say what's on their mind and actually let out a lot of what they've been feeling or thinking. And that's really, really important to do, I think, as a human being.
It is. That's a lot. It takes a lot for people to do that.
Yeah. I think that's one of the highest forms of courage.
Facts.
You ever been in one of those situations where like you say something and then somebody else is like, yo, I was thinking the same thing, I just didn't want to say it.
Right, yeah.
Just being the first. I think that's interesting. This one's going to seem a little random, but how would you construct your ideal household?
Well, I
kind of
got OCD, so man, I don't know, my idea of, you said what, a perfect household, or
just your ideal
household? It probably, I don't know, it might be a little extra, but Well, I guess it depends on who's all in this. Who all would I want in my ideal household? Okay, so I don't know, like, how detailed you want this, but I know, like, in the future, I want, like, two dogs, right? So.
Okay.
I want a big dog and a small dog. My big dog got to be a pit bull because they are just beautiful and just amazing. And then the small dog has to be, like, small enough to where I can just hold it in my arms with no problem all the time if I wanted to. I don't have a specific kind for that one, but I have an idea. And then, you know, between my old soul and my young spirit, I battle whether or not I really want to be that adventurous relative that just, you know, be holding it down on her own for the rest of her life, or is she actually, you know, settle down, marry, have a couple of kids, you know, so that part is really kind of up in the air right now. But with or without, I want my dogs, you know, those gonna be my first kids. And then if I decide, then of course, you know, happily married. At least two kids. I want my child to have a sibling. And definitely an environment where it's just like surrounded by growth and positive, and I don't know, positive vibes, energy. It gotta be warm because the sun is everything. Like, man, that's everything. It gotta be somewhere warm so I can step outside and feel the sun on my skin. And just clean. It's gotta be clean. Everybody
got to think behind themselves. Mm-mm. I'm not paying for no maid, and I'm not nobody's maid, period.
I feel that. Yeah, there you go.
So, whether you decide to have children, how would you create outlets or de-stressing mechanisms in your home? So, with your ideal household, how would you create, like, a space for you to de-stress or to, like, use it as, like, an outlet?
For me personally?
Yeah. Or for other people, if they may be there?
Well, so, speaking for me, myself, I feel as though I would probably need like a studio space within my ideal home, because I feel like with that, as long as like making it big enough, I will have room to express my self, or if I'm saying it right, like express myself in multiple ways, as far as like releasing, like literally I can utilize the studio space. Oh, I gotta have a punching bag.
You talking about a personal or a real bag?
A real bag. I gotta have a little corner so I have a little punching bag. Mirrors around the room so I can do dance. Speakers for music. What else are we doing? And just, I mean, I don't know what else I would probably need in that room. But I feel like I just need a studio space, and I can just, that can be my go-to room, and I can do anything in order to help me release. Depending on what I need to release from. You know, I can yell in there if I just wanted to. Cry, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can be in that room to myself and do anything I need as far as expression and releasing. And I mean, if there's anybody else there, they can possibly use it, utilize it too.
I think if you do actually design that, I think I might need to go in there and yell a couple times. I'll leave quickly, but I just need to get one out.
You know, one time or the one time, sometimes you just really need to just scream to the top of your lungs. And you'd be good. Yeah. It's like taking a deep breath for some people. A woo stop.
That's important.
And the punching bag, you know, hit it a couple times. Just so somebody don't get a reflex, you know. A bad reflex.
Nah, then it's going to be war up in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so if, hypothetical completely,
okay,
if you were to have some little babies, some children,
uh-huh,
how would you balance self-discipline and self-expression?
You're hitting me with some good ones. Self-discipline and self-expression. How would I teach
them? Like, yeah, how would you balance the two? Because, like, I know sometimes some parents can be so strict on discipline they don't allow them, their children to express themselves, or they allow them to be too free.
I want to say, honestly, I would say it would come from a lot of just knowing how to be honest and open with your children, because for people that did watch Power and followed it enough to know about the whole ghost son not really having a great relationship with, you know, Ghost and his son not having a good relationship because he would always lie about his past versus him actually connecting more with his mother because she got to the point where she was just honest about, you know, things that they did in the past that, you know, kind of ran over into how they operate things now and why, you know, they are the way they are and blah, 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 blah. Like, you have to learn how to, like, be honest, like, period. And speak from experience and teach from experience, I guess you can say, so they can understand realistically the difference for themselves to be able to balance self-discipline and self-expression in a way.
I think that's extremely important.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong, like, to a certain extent, you know, it's like, you may have to hold off on some things that you give, but ultimately, like, still be honest and open and basically enough to where that can be reciprocated, you know? And create a level of comfortability so that can be reciprocated, and you know, if you're aware of certain things, you can prevent certain things and help certain things.
Okay, so you have a person that works day and night, well over overtime, like well over 40 hours a week,
mm-hmm,
and they don't feel fulfilled in their life.
They're working too much.
Exactly. So what advice would you give to that person in terms of carving out time to fulfill themselves? Like, how would you advise that person?
The same way I need to advise myself, but I gotta work. I know, for real, like, I was just thinking about this earlier today, and I honestly wanted to make a post about it, and I still may end up making a post about it. Just the fact that I'm aware of it and I'm able to admit it, that I know that I need to work on my time management, and time management can affect a lot of things. For example, somebody working too much, like, understand you being in grind mode and being in a situation where you know you have to work nonstop, but you don't have to work nonstop forever. Like, you know, have a, you know, plan out how much you're working to get what you need so you can accomplish what you're trying to do, but also plan to set time for yourself at the same time. Like, know when you're realistically able to take some time for yourself and plan for it so you can actually do so, because working yourself nonstop is just going to be, you know, it's going to end badly in the long run, because you're going to, like, you know, you're going to crash. You can't push yourself too much. Like, it's good to push yourself. Everyone needs to be able to do that. But you also need to know your limit and not overdo it. Because everybody needs to recharge, you know. That just kind of comes into the, I don't know, it kind of falls in the category of, like, self-love, self-care, self-maintenance, you know, all that good stuff. Time management, like, yeah.
Okay. So, what are some ways that you believe anxiety and or depression can actually be treated rather than distracted from?
Treated?
Like, yeah, like things that actually work and help. Because we do a lot of distracting, like putting it off or stalling.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm trying to think of a few things to name, because the first one that I came to mind, I don't want to just say that by itself. So hold on. Okay, anxiety and depression, you said, right? Okay, so I got two right now. I want, like, one more to give the people. I'm sorry. Let me see. Okay. Okay. So, I feel like two of the things that I will name can work towards both. Well, honestly... No, yeah. Both. And then the third thing I'll name will just be kind of geared towards depression. So I'll say meditation. And don't get me wrong, depending on what you may currently be dealing with that's causing you anxiety or depression or both, depending on the current situation, I'll go more in detail to explain what I'm saying. But depending on the current situation, will determine how well you will be able to fully meditate, but, like, there's different forms, you know, can meditate, but and everybody does it differently. So, like, for example, when I worked at the Sugar Factory as a server, that was my first restaurant that I worked in with, like, a high-value restaurant environment. So me going from what I'm used to that, to experiencing that for the first time, like when I was actually in a working a shift where I experienced the high volume for the first time, like, man, it was a big shift for me. And I do feel as though, like, me being overwhelmed, I, you know, was dealing with a minor level of anxiety, but it's not a time where I can just go sit down and start meditating, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I do have to realize, like, I need to, you know, step aside, breathe, calm down, you know, take my time with what I gotta do in order for me to actually complete the task that I need to do, because panicking is not going to help me out, you know what I'm saying? And going crazy, and, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not, I have to realize, like, you know, in any situation, like, you know, if you just get in an accident, like, or see, you know, like, you just see something, like, instantly just happen, like, you cannot panic. Is ultimately, like, that's not going to help you solve the issue at hand, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you just really have to, like, calm down real quick and realistically think, like, okay, what can I do to, you know, to help myself out right now? And then, but like ultimately, you know, whether you're in a situation where you actually can just sit down and meditate, like, then go to that too. Because clearing your thoughts out of your head, which is like amazingly difficult for me to do, I'm not saying it like it's easy, depending on who you are, it may or may not be, but like working towards mastering that skill is a beautiful thing because it is beneficial and it is helpful. And then, you know, my other, you know, option is a form that is the preference based off of who you are and the effects that it has on you. But I honestly do feel as though smoking to an extent can help. Not saying that you should be reliant on it like people, you know, that fall into the whole becoming addicted to that extent, that because that is possible. I mean, that's possible with anything, honestly. Just like medication, people give you, doctors prescribe you, whatever. That's a, you know, that's a form of, you know, something that you can become addicted to as well. But like I said, I do feel like depending on what's your what's causing you anxiety or depression, that is a form of, I don't know, an option that is helpful as well, as long as you don't abuse it. Honestly, and I say that from my experience, I only say that because I feel like it enhances, like I used to say it, I felt high off life, honestly. And so I feel like that enhances the like happy hormones in my body. And for real, like it allows me to not, it kind of prevents me from developing anxiety in certain situations, to be honest. And it's kind of weird to say that, but like I said, like some people it just has different effects. And for me, I actually feel like it prevents me from developing anxiety in certain situations, which is why I like it sometimes. And it also, it just makes me able to, it allows me to enjoy like my the moments and situations a whole lot more than I probably would have, because I'd be thinking about so much stuff, you know. And I guess it kind of stops me from focusing on so many things at once. Allows me to kind of like, I don't know, just enjoy the moment, because I be thinking too much. I really do. Like I really be in my head a lot, and I just be like, bro, I'm overthinking this. But it's hard to get out your head sometimes, you know? So it does that for me. And then the last thing I was gonna say is like, you know how I was speaking on like having a whole studio within my house, like as a room to be able to release, like just turning to one of those things that helps you release and helps you feel good, that makes you feel, you know, I mean, if that's like for a female, you know, if that means like getting dressed up and going out somewhere, you know, and just to kick it with your girls type of thing, like then do that. Or if it means, you know, going to an open mic and performing one of your songs, poems or something, like do that. You know, if it means swimming, you know, skateboarding, like, you know, whatever that release is for you, like start doing more of it if you're able to. And sometimes that's helpful as well. But I mean, ultimately everybody is different, but I feel like those are a good three.
Yeah, it's solid. One thing I think that is very, very important that you had said was, you said as long as you don't abuse it. And I think that's key for pretty much everything that we do. Because in America, we are unique in terms of the chronic illnesses we develop. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, we're like number one for all of those chronic illnesses. And I believe that it isn't necessarily the food itself, it's the way we use the food, which is abusive. So if we decide to have a slice of pizza, you're gonna have the whole pizza instead. Like you're not gonna be modest about the things that you do. So if you go out for a drink or something, you're not just going out for one, a little sip or something, you're gonna try to get messed up. And that's like that abusive habit that we practice in America that I feel is, that's the detriment.
Because anything of, or too much of anything is bad. Like, I don't matter. It doesn't matter how good it is for you. Too much of it is not good. You know, it just isn't. So you literally can abuse anything. And so, that's where the whole balance comes into play. Like, you need to find balance amongst so many things that's like in life. Like, it's a lot. Like, if I tell you, my head be thinking so much, it's crazy. But like, yeah, you need to find balance within everything. Your diet, you know, which is, you know, related to the heart disease and whichever one did you say?
Type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, diabetes, like balance and everything. It's crazy how small things can have a big effect on you in the long run. For example, even anxiety and depression, you know, like from like holding stuff in too long and not, you know, releasing things in a healthy manner, you know, turning to drinking too much or, you know, partying too much or whatever as a form of release, like, you know, ultimately ends up being too much and can cause, you know, stuff like depression and anxiety. So it's just like, that's why I'm like, you know, just don't abuse anything.
That's important too. That ties into people. Because, I mean, the old saying is true. You give somebody an inch and they take a couple feet, if not yards and miles. Mm-hmm. But somebody allows you to have a portion of them, whether it be their mind, whether it be their body, whether it be their words. But being abusive with that is we would take so much from them. Like, we would take whatever we could give. And that's a huge problem that we have and should be, you know, said, and we should be honest with ourselves. Like, man, am I overreaching with this one? Like, maybe I should give this person some space. Maybe I should, you know, allow myself to extend to them rather than just asking and receiving so much. You need that balance, like she just said. You need that balance. Feels good to give. Feels good to receive as well, but you need a balance. All right.
And
what?
I was gonna say, like, I mean, I feel like that's what determines like how genuine a person is. Like, when you know it feels good to them to give. You know, like, you're not just giving just for the, you know, to say you did or for how it would make you look type of thing. Like, you did that because you truly wanted to, because you knew how that would affect that person or whatever the case may be. And I feel like sometimes, like, I'm too much like that. So with the whole balance thing, give and take, like, I give too much and it takes away from me in a sense, you know? But, yeah.
I think on that journey, those people are really blessed. Because you read scripture?
I don't. That, not really.
All right. So in the Quran, it says God hates ingratitude. But what's the opposite of that? Like, if you're feeling grateful for what you have, what you receive. Grateful for what somebody could or does do for you, and also grateful for the capacity to actually be able to give to another person. So when we sit back and think about that, God literally says in that scripture he hates ingratitude. I think a lot of what we need to do is focus on the things that we're grateful for. So, like, you can see people writing out their grateful list, like their top 10 things for the day. I think some website I was reading was saying that's linked to treating depression. They try to say that that's like the opposite.
Oh yeah, affirmations. Like, that's big, and that's something that I've been like increasing, working on increasing, like on a daily basis type of thing. Like, don't get me wrong, I have grown to give, increase my, like, I guess, the me writing things down. But for some reason, my gratitude list is not something I typically write, but I write affirmations. I more so speak my, like, what I'm, you know, grateful for out loud. I speak on that. But, I mean, I speak on my affirmations as well. But, I don't know, like, my affirmations, I feel, in a sense, I feel like that's more important for me to write down and see and speak out loud versus, like, writing down what I'm grateful for. Because I don't know, like, that's just a big thing with me. So, that's always something I'm speaking on a daily consensus, like, knowing, like, real life, being aware of what I'm grateful for, because no matter, because I talk to myself, you know, so if I'm talking to myself about, like, what I'm trying to figure out, what I'm stressed about, at the same time, I have to remind myself what I'm grateful for, because I have to realize and be proud of myself for where I am and how far I have gotten versus, like, you know, the things I may be struggling with at the time, because just like I've made it this far, I'm going to continue to get further and further. So I know it's going to happen. And that's it. I don't know. Like, it's just, it's a little different. But I mostly write down my affirmations so I can see it, feel it, and hear it.
That's important too. You said you should do what works for you.
Yeah.
Really, you should do what works for you. All right, we're gonna go into the next question. And the question is, how much time do you take to learn new skills or venture into something new?
Not enough. And it kind of depends on what it is, to be honest, because I feel like I've subconsciously been aware of this for a long time, but wasn't in full realization of what it, like, to the extent that I am now. Like, I have an urge for learning a whole lot, because I feel like I should be learning something every day. Like, honestly, every day I should be learning something, because I'll never know it all, but there's always something for me to know, you know, to better, like, I don't know. So I feel like I should be learning something every day, but at the same time, I know I don't always take out the time that I need to take in order to make sure I do, because whether it's relevant to what I'm doing at the time or not, I know for a fact there's so many things that I know I want to know and learn, but I'm not going to learn more, you know, until I actually do something about it, if I'm not in an environment where I'm going to be naturally learning it, type of thing. So that's why I say not enough, but at the same time, I know I am getting better at it, but I'm still not where I want to be with it, so not enough.
When it does happen for me, because my schedule is pretty all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even really a schedule. It's just
bags. That's why I'm like, ridiculous. I'm kind of surprised I didn't bring my planner, but I'm just like, I take pictures of it since, oh, probably because I didn't want to hold it. I usually have my bag with me, but I've been trying to, like, avoid carrying it so many places. And so, like, if I don't bring it with me, I'll take a picture of my planner just so I can have something to visually remind myself of what I have going on. But I just be really trying to get better with my time management, like I said, and having not a set schedule, because I'm not really with the certain restrictions, but just have an organized schedule, an idea of what I, you know what I'm saying, of what I got going on, and what when I can play with something, or I know for a fact, like, you know, what I have going on, pretty much.
Next question. If you, it's kind of similar to another one, but if you had a friend that was diagnosed with clinical depression,
mm-hmm.
how much time would you give toward helping them in terms of if you felt as though this is my friend, I need to help them, or just be there for them, how much time do you think is like a healthy amount? Kind of weird question.
But I get what you're saying. Explain the best I can. I will say I would definitely check up on them more than I would anyone else, just a regular, you know, person I consider my friend or whatever, or associate, just if I'm fully aware, like, this is something that they're, you know, dealing with, I would probably, you know, like I said, check up on them more often, but I can't say, like, how often, but just often, because I'm not going to lie and say that I would check them on it every day, because I can't say that I would, and I want to, you know, like I said, I don't want to lie, but I would definitely, you know, kind of be more cautious and attentive when it comes to them, and pay, and like I said, reach out to them a little bit more often. Just the in ways that I feel that I'm capable of helping them out, because I mean, just because I'm aware of them doesn't mean I can do anything to necessarily help, but at the same time, you know, checking on them is better than nothing, you know, right. Like just being there for them, even if you don't feel like you can necessarily help them out in the ways that you would want to, or is going to be completely beneficial to their needs, because I honestly feel like a lot of people should, like, I've always been the type of person where I express to people, and to be honest, it don't always be people that I'm necessarily close friends with. It could be a coworker that I've known for like a couple months, and I only see them when I work with them, but if I overhear or they're comfortable enough to kind of just like be openly speaking on a certain situation, I will still reach out and let them know, like, you know, if you ever need somebody to talk to, like, you can, type of thing, you know. So like, I'm just the type of person where like I will extend that to anybody, but at the same time, I can't be there for you all the time. So I do feel like people that are aware of them dealing with certain things, like, should look into counseling if that's an offer. Not necessarily counseling, but like having a therapist to talk to if they are capable of doing so. And if not, just kind of rely on other resources if they have them. Like, if you have a friend that's letting you know that they, you know, are willing to just let you vent, if you just need to, you know, vent, then utilize that. Like, don't let your pride or your ego, you know, get in your way and stop you from utilizing your resources if you have them. Like, it's necessary and it's beneficial. So like I said, I will try my best to be there as often as I can for somebody that I, especially if they're like, you know, my friend and I consider to be a close friend, but at the same time, like, they have to be doing things on their end as well to try to help themselves out, because you can only help somebody as much as they want to be helped, period.
Facts.
And I'm not finna, you know what I'm saying, like, don't get me wrong, I don't, you know, I'm not just finna, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
and then, you know, then again, sometimes they do need their space. Yeah, you have to be aware of that. They do just kind of need some space themselves. Be aware of that and don't take too many things personally, you know. But still, do what you can.
I think I had a friend a couple years ago. And they were going through a little personal situation. They were diagnosed with depression. They didn't want to take their medication and everything. And I understand that. But I think when I had separated myself from him, they talked to one of my friends and tried to, like, you know, get them to be there for them. But it was kind of manipulative. And I thought that was something to look out for, because it's definitely good to have a heart to want to help someone, but it can get contagious. And if you become in a depressed state, then you can't really help that person.
Exactly. That's why I was saying the whole, like, you can only help somebody as much as they want to help themselves, and the whole, like, give and take thing. I was like, you know, I'm that type of person, likes to live again, but sometimes I feel like it's too much, and then it starts to take away from myself, you know? Like, that's kind of what I was speaking on. Like, I've definitely had relationships with people, or friendships, should I say, with people. Either way it goes, it's a relationship, you know, with people where I felt like they were draining, you know, and I'm just like, that's like putting myself between a rock and a hard place, because I want to help you, but at the same time, I can't continue to put someone else before myself and allow myself to get, you know, trapped under the rug trying to, you know, get you from underneath. Type of thing. Like, sometimes you kind of have to, like, remove yourself from that to protect yourself, because you're, I don't know, it's like you're trying to help somebody else, and it's like you're doing a disservice to yourself, you know. That's hard sometimes, being in situations where we can, when it kind of turn into that.
Yeah, it takes a lot of learning to be able to read that situation, or most situations. It takes a lot of experience.
That's why I'm just like, you know, sometimes some people just need a therapist. And I don't even know how because, you know, I wouldn't know how therapists go about situations like that. But I'm sure they know how to better, you know, handle it than I do, type of thing. But I feel like the reason why I even allow myself to get that deep into situation like that in the first place is probably because I consider being something of the nature in, like, therapist category, in a sense. Like, as far as when I was in my college years, I guess you could say. I feel old. In my college years, when I was attending college, like, I know I went to school with the major of psychology. Even though I did switch it to undecided, like, I did have my mind set on psychology at first, with the mindset of, like, I just love learning about how the mind works. Like, I love figuring out why I feel the way I feel and how I got to feeling this way, and when it comes to others as well, like, why do you feel the way you feel, why does that make you act that way, and, you know, what caused you to be this way and vice versa, like, what all has played a role into you having this type of mind, you know what I'm saying, like, all that, like, how things affect you and what caused you to, I don't know. Like, I was always fascinated in that. And then, like I said, just being there for people and, like, giving advice and being able to help you out. I don't know. So I feel like that plays a role as to why I'm kind of like that. But ultimately, that is not my job. So, yeah.
I think it's interesting because, like, I used to think that I had some sort of way to figure things out. But once I actually got in a situation where, like, my friends were really depressed, I'm like, damn, like,
yeah, you would think, it hits, like, you differently when you, like, it hits you differently, bro. Like, when you know for a fact that they own some, they deep in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little different versus like, oh, they're just real stressed out about something, you know, and coming to you like, oh, what should I do type of thing versus like, I'm not feeling this at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not feeling life no more type of, you know, statements, you know. It's like, whoa.
That's like, what'd you call it? Like a red alert? That's like, yeah, you need to hop on that. Like,
I feel the pressure, it gets real hot. Like, dang, bro. You know, and then it's like, who knows you got going on in your life at that specific moment when you get, you know what I'm saying, like some notification or something like that, and you're just like, dang, okay. And then it hurts. It's like even worse when you're literally not in the position to like give them the energy that you want to, you know, or try to give them the energy that you want to at the time, and just hope that they can hold on until you can, you know,
right,
or somebody else can make up for you while, you know what I'm saying, like, man, crazy.
It's like a chain reaction in a way.
Yeah.
And it's that situation seems like real bad time, and it's like, why now? Like, I'm not in the position to, like, offer any advice. I'm just trying to get out of this dark place myself.
And then, to be honest, just to speak a little on myself, like, you know, I'm human. I'm not saying I've been diagnosed with anything or whatnot, but I will say that, you know, I have moments in life where I deal with a minor level of, like, anxiety and depression, and I have my phases or my states or whatever the case may be, and a heart like can just kind of piggybacking off of the statement you just made, like, it is a hard thing to try to be there for somebody when you're not in the best of, you know, states yourself, and it's just like they don't know that, but you're not trying to make things about yourself, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like you're just trying to be there for them and focus on them, but it's just like, dang, bro, like, you know, like, shoot. Like, have you ever found yourself speaking to someone and then thinking to yourself, like, I need to be listening to myself right now. I need to be doing what I'm telling you. Like, you know, like, because I honestly feel like, you know, you end up in situations like that to ultimately, like, speak to yourself in a way. Like, I feel like I literally be having people speak through me to somebody else, but also to myself. As a reminder for yourself.
Sheesh. So I looked up an article. It was from like BuzzFeed or something. And then they gave like different ways to actually fight depression that you can do. And from this five, I want you to give me your top three.
Okay.
So the first one,
like,
is...
like out of the five that you give me?
The five, yeah. Okay. They gave me like 24. I'm not writing all that down. Just condense it. So you got taking self-portraits. You also have get out into the world, like, you know, go explore nature.
Uh-huh.
The third one is working with makeup or like body paint.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth is teaching someone something that you want, like a skill or something. And then the fifth was like ceramics. They didn't say ceramics, but it was just, they called it working with fire, but they displayed the ceramics. So
the three I give, I mean, will pretty much be on a personal sense, you know?
This is your top three.
Okay. So, get out into the world. That is number one. That is definitely number one for me. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie. Like, and I mean, it is crazy because I didn't realize until someone said it to me of how common this is for other people. Seasonal depression.
Yeah.
And I feel like it hit me the hardest last winter, which was my first winter here in Chicago, for multiple reasons. But ultimately, like, just to come back to the whole season of depression, like, when I said, like, how my ideal place is to walk outside and feel the sun on my, you know, skin, like, winter time, especially in Chicago, bro, like, all I want to do is stay in the house because it's that cold outside. It's no longer enjoyable to be outside and to be able to walk freely, you know, to take 30-minute walks, or because that's the type of person I am. I love just being outside and being able to walk, you know, and to get to the point to where I can't do that because I can't even enjoy being outside for so long, I feel trapped in the house, you know, like, I feel like I'm literally going on in hibernation like bears, but it's not will, it's not voluntarily type of thing, you know, like, I feel forced, and I don't know, I feel like it definitely depresses me, you know, like, so definitely get out into the world, like, that's my number one. Because I just feel like once it starts to feel good outside again, like, I'm finna just be, oh my God, I'm finna just start blossoming again. The second one was, teach someone. And I think I say that because it's kind of in a sense of, like, give, you know, in the gifts giving sense, because you're teaching someone, you're giving them knowledge, you know, and in a way, like, you can look at that as a gift or a present to someone because you're giving them something, you know what I'm saying, whether they necessarily appreciate it or not, like, you still just gave to someone. And I think the reason why I like to give is because I kind of like people's reaction. And especially when you know, especially when they are appreciative of what you just gave them, it just makes that reaction that much more heartwarming, I guess. Like, I don't know, it just makes me feel good pleasing somebody else in that sense. And so basically to be able to teach someone and know that I'm giving something to someone, it just kind of makes me feel good that I'm capable of doing that for somebody. Like, I did that, you know, like, I don't know. I'm like, does that sound like a selfish thing in a way? Because it's like, I'm thinking about how it's going to make me feel, but at the same time, I'm making somebody else feel good.
So it's like, it's partially selfish, but it's not like a toxic selfish. Mm-hmm. So you are thinking about
like
yourself.
A selfish, selfless thing.
Right. Exactly. So yeah. I mean, they're gonna benefit from you being
right.
That
yeah.
way.
So yeah, that's kind of where my head went when you said teach someone, which is why that's on my list, because, you know, I like being able to give to others. And then ceramics. I say ceramics only because I'm a hands-on type of person. And I actually took a ceramics class while dealing with, like, clay. And I won't say I was the best, you know. I made some decent pieces. But overall, I got a lot of work to do. But it was fun. Because, I mean, it's like I said, I'm a hands-on type of person. Like, it's, I need to actually be able to do it in order to learn, like, truly learn to the level of where I want to be able to know how to do what I'm doing. And because just telling me, like, I don't know, I'm going to need more than that for it to register. You know, like, I need to be able to just do it. And I don't know. So with ceramics, you know, of course, you cannot accomplish anything without using your hands. And I don't know, it kind of forces you to work on your skill or your effort, you know, level and your, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like you got to put in the work, you know, in order to get better with that. Like, that whole practicing makes perfect thing, like, you gotta work on that, like, really, in order to see a difference in your results. And you're going to get that, from ceramics. Like, if you keep doing that on, like, from your first day and then a year later, if your project is looking the same, you aren't really doing nothing. But if your cup go from looking like, you know, this to, you know, you seeing like a big difference, you go like, okay, they was working. They, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
All right. So, next, what do you believe will fulfill your life?
An abundance of self-love, unconditional self-love, and then just being able to unconditionally love in general, and finding happiness from within. Accomplishing my idea of being successful. Yeah.
So your fulfillment occurs in the mind. So you don't look to material possessions to fulfill. You use them to facilitate a mental reaction, but the fulfillment itself is going to occur in your mind.
Ultimately,
self-love. Yeah. Self-love.
Yeah. That's number one.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
Thank you.
All right, last question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how often does exercise contribute to euphoria for you?
Good question.
Let's see.
Ask me again.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much does exercise contribute to euphoria for you?
To what extent that I worked out, but like doing like a real workout, I would probably say between a good 7-8. There, so it's on the higher end. I'm not gonna say it just ultimately, yeah, it just, you know, reached the top, but like it's definitely on the higher end. And I feel like, but I feel I feel like it's really because, like, you know, no, regardless of how small I am right now, like, I'm not in shape. I'm not, you know, like, a lot of people would assume that I am because of my size, but I'm like, just because I'm small don't mean I'm in shape, you know, period. Like, they do not correlate. You can assume that, but that isn't making true. So, ultimately, I'm not in shape, so there's many benefits from exercise. It will, you know, get me that much closer to being in shape, and it will get me that much closer to, you know, having a banging body. You know, I got some goals set for myself. So, yeah, that. So, like, just knowing that that will allow me to get this much closer to the results, or, yeah, the results that I want to achieve. And it's just a good habit to maintain, you know, because ultimately it will always keep you in shape. You know, and you need that with age. So I feel like it increases that only because I know the benefits of it. So to actually do it and accomplish it and know what it's going to do for me just makes me feel good about myself. So I'm working on my consistency with that right now.
Okay, consistency. I'm definitely gonna, like, after the podcast ends, I'm gonna review what you said, because you said a lot of good stuff. And I really hope the people that listen to it take at least some of the points that you made and are able to use it, because you said a lot of good things.
Thank you.
Really
good
answers to these questions.
Yeah, you hit me with some real questions I wouldn't expect it for. I'm like, dang. And I'm usually not good at stuff like this, because honestly, like I told you, like, I'm always thinking about so many things, and sometimes it's hard to express myself and explain myself because my thoughts be going so fast. So I literally be having, like, make my brain slow down so I can speak what I'm thinking, you know? And I'm so big on, like, you know, my choice of words and how I come off and whatnot. So I'm just, like, be thinking about how I'm going to say what I'm going to say before I say it. While trying to slow down all my thoughts I'm thinking about at the same time. Like, it'd be a lot going on up here.
That's right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude episode 2 of the Type 2 Podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Once again, you have any last words you want to leave people with?
I just want to say that I feel honored to be on the second episode of your podcast. I feel really special. I appreciate you extending the invitation to me and allowing me to speak on the topic that you chose for this specific podcast, and allowing me to, you know, express my personal opinions and perspectives on the topics and whatnot. So, like he said, I hope you guys do take away some things from the things that I expressed. That's it.
You want to go ahead and drop your Instagram tag?
So, like I said, my name is Renee Noir, so you can follow me on Instagram at _Renee, R-E-I-N-E, period, Noir, N-O-I-R-E, _, again, because, you know, I just had to be extra since people wanted to take my name, so it'd be like that.
And I will be including your name in the title for this podcast so people can just easily see it and go follow you. Make sure you all go follow her in real life. Like, don't just say, oh, I really like what you said. Like, go to her page, check out her content. She has some really good things on her page. And as you can see, she has many good things in her mind. And I'm glad and grateful that she had actually given me the time in answering these questions. So leave any suggestions for future podcast episodes. I'll see you all on the other side. Peace.